That's fine. It's been a while.
Mm.
All right.
All right.
It's been a while, guys. Sorry. Well, sorry, not sorry. I mean, sorry that it's been a while, but not sorry why it's been a while. Like, we've just been doing a lot of stuff, and a lot of things happened, and a lot of things are cool. So, what the hell is going on with my goddamn browser? It's like not letting me click on stuff, and I'm like, that's not good.
Yeah,
So,
that definitely is not a good thing.
yeah,
But
not cool.
welcome back all.
I'll figure that out later. Oh, no, what's going on in
But
there?
we have tons of stuff to go through.
Oh yeah. So we were going to have an episode last week. However, Tim then remembered that it was his 15-year wedding anniversary, and I told him he wasn't allowed to miss that because I didn't want Stephanie to kill me. So,
I still think I was like, how can you forget that? Or how can you like kind of brush that
I think he
aside? I'm
thought that
like,
they were doing something earlier in the day
okay.
and it wouldn't matter, but they were going to dinner at like 7:30 or something. But either way, happy anniversary to the Copes. Good deal. Love you guys. So, thanks again also to everyone who came out to the warehouse sale. That was a lot of fun. It was a lot of digging. I'm still a bit like dusty in my throat because of it, because there was just so much freaking dust in there. But it was a good time. Saw a lot of great people, sold a lot of cool books, sold some cool wall books. Todd's AF-15 came back at a 2.5, and he had it on display there. So good times, good times. We this week have free comic book day coming up. So if you're, so inclined to go get some free comics, this is not something just we do. A lot of people do it. We though specifically will have at the waterfront, we'll have our friends from Comicsburg. So we'll have Marvin and DP, and then we also have one of their buddies, Aaron. Can't say his last name right. It's like Dreyer, something like that. Sorry, really sorry about your last name. We're excited to have him there. Also, I forget what her name is, but Chip somehow scored one of the girls who wrote one of the books from Paper Cuts Publishing to be at the store for a couple hours. So that's awesome. Good job.
Cool.
Then at the Mills, we're gonna have Dan Noakes, and then at 4 o'clock, actually throughout the day, we're gonna have the band Anime Night. They're a band that does anime covers. So songs from anime. They're doing their first ever acoustic show for free with us at 4 o'clock on Saturday at the Mills. So make sure you
Sounds
come and check
fun.
that out. It's going to be a blast. I will be there all day, mostly because I want to see the concert. Yeah, come on out and hang out. It's going to be good.
Yep. We will
And then we have
also
our
have
customer
cosplayers
appreciation sale
too.
coming out after that. Oh yeah. We have cosplayers at pretty much almost every location. The guys from Cosplay for a Cause are coming. It's gonna be a good time.
I think of Pittsburgh Justice League too. A bunch of the guys from Pittsburgh Justice League.
They kind of overlap. So
Okay.
yeah. if they're in DC specific, you may just be like, are you part of the Justice League? If they're not, then are you part of for Cosplay for a Cause? Because that's pretty much how it's gonna work. But it's a lot of fun. There's gonna be a lot of guys. I think there's like four or five at the Mills and Waterfront each. So that'll be super fun.
And
Then we have
also
the
remember, it is Star Wars weekend too. So,
Yeah, yep. So I know some of you guys will be going to the Pirates game because it's Star Wars night at the Pirates. Also,
it's
the
the only
Symphony is
reason to
putting
go to a
on
pirate game.
right. Actually, I'm going next week, but whatever. For different reasons than actually watching the Pirates. The Symphony is, I think, doing Return of the Jedi, I think, on
Nice.
Saturday. Yeah.
Nice.
So that'll be a lot of fun. Anyway, go check it out. have fun. It'd be a good time. And I think we are now at all but three stores we haven't dropped off flyers for in the Pittsburgh area for the show, but it's getting that time. If you're a business and you need a flyer, you want a poster, you let me know and we will hook you up.
Yep.
Either me, Justin, or Scott will drive to your house, give you a high, or not your house, your business, give you a high five. It'll be a great time. So give you a
I actually
flyer.
have a new, I have a new list of stuff I dropped off yesterday. So I
Oh.
dropped off a whole bunch of posters and
Nice.
flyers from local tattoo shops.
Nice.
So,
I hit a
for
couple cigar
those,
bars today, so.
well, it's we're trying to expand out there because we know tattoos are
Oh, and
synonymous with
a
nerddom.
music shop too. I hit a record shop that
Nice.
has two shops actually. And luckily the owner was there and he took extra. But yeah, like tattooing is art. And you know, if we were allowed to have them in the convention center with us, we would, but we can't. So, not our rule. Don't yell at the messenger. Don't yell at me. Please don't yell at me. I get yelled at by my wife enough. Anyway. All right. Let's talk comics. So our books are going to be from pretty much the last 3 weeks, in no particular order, except that Justin gets to go first.
All right. Now this is a one from last week, guys. This is Darth Maul. Black, white, red. You know me with my black, white, and red series. I think this is one of those underrated series that Marvel has been doing that people are not taking notice, other than, oh, the covers are cool. I was like, no, the stories in most of these are really good because they're getting really some of the better writers to do these. So I think I want to say Jason Aaron is doing this one. If I'm not
Oh yeah.
mistaken, I think
Damn.
I read it, but I know it was very well written. Basically, this is, it starts off with Darth Maul, is
You almost
said
said Garth Maul. That's hilarious.
Garth. No, I said Darth.
Garth Ennis Maul.
I am chewing gum though, so it's probably that's
Oh,
what it
okay.
is.
I'll blame that. That's pretty funny though.
Yeah,
Garth Maul.
Garth. And Wayne Sidious and
Is my boy Garth Maul.
but they he Sidious is ordering Darth to go take care of these enemies that they have that's in a prison ship. And Sidious is kind of holding a lot of things back, not necessarily telling Darth Maul what's going on. But Darth Maul finds out real quick when he lands into the prison ship, because apparently these enemies of the Sith are, they're not Jedi. These are like agents of chaotic evil, basically. And they all, each one of them has a really cool design. You're just going to have to buy the book to see them. But, they all have powers that even give like a powerful Sith apprentice like Darth trouble. And he does finally take care of them throughout the book. There's only one story, which I should mention, by the way, which is very unusual. But at the end of the book, though, he is realizing that he doesn't get the whole true chaos evil, and he comes to the understanding that evil needs to be for order and control at the end, which is an interesting way of looking at the way of the Sith. But it was a really interesting book, like very action packed. Like the double lightsaber comes into play a ton. His use of the Force is, of course, as cool as Episode One as he looked. So, it in general, I'm gonna give this one a solid like two scrambled eggs with some maybe some chopped up mushrooms in there.
Ooh.
I mean it I feel like this is just the beginning with these. Like there was usually what, three or four, maybe up to five of these. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the next one is. But it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. So
Nice. I just wish he had spider legs.
that might be
Or
later.
so this is one of my first ones that's awesome and why I named the
Huh.
episode We Love Dick Tracy. So this is an updated, if you guys remember Dick Tracy, even if it's just from the movie, he's very noir. He's very like he was created partially out of Elliot Ness to like kind of represent like the ultimate in detectives, right? He wears yellow so people can see him coming, which is very reminiscent of also of that's why they did that with Dick Grayson when he became Robin, was they gave him the bright colors so people could see him. See him coming. So this book starts out, two guys are in a diner, they're talking, they're like, oh man, like, I can't, we gotta hurry up and do this. And all of a sudden, two guys come in and mow the whole place down. cops show up, they're like, oh man, look at all these dead bodies, blah, blah, blah. Dick Tracy shows up, and they're like, oh man, is that him? He's that old Marine guy that is now a detective and whatever. And he's just starting to point out like all kinds of things, like oh, these guys were executed, but the rest of these guys were just shot up. So then the one guy's daughter is outside screaming. He comes out, tries to make nice with her. Then goes and talks to his chief for a little bit. Then they're like, it could be Mumbles, it might not be Mumbles. Then the girl is shown at her dad's office because her dad was the guy, one of the guys that got killed, and she finds a notebook that says, meet Marsh, get to Mumbles. And Marsh is the guy that was the other guy that was shot, that was the reporter guy. Two of Mumbles' henchmen show up. She ends up stabbing him with a letter opener, and getting out in a taxi in Florida, and then gets with Dick Tracy. Dick Tracy's like, all right, let's go see what we can find. They go into this apartment and they find Mumbles. They take Mumbles, and as they're taking Mumbles, Flat Top shows up and tries to mow them all down with a Tommy gun. Then there's like a full-on, like in the street shootout in cars. They take Mumbles and they drive away. Flat Top goes back, who we can only think is Brick Top, because they haven't named him yet, and it's to be continued at that point. But this is like full on like noir. This is like the like this is sl like Dick Tracy still in that era. It's still set in like the 50s, but it's written very well with more modern art. It is very well, if you're very good, if you're into noir stuff, you're into detective books. I was kind of on the fence about this book. I bought it and I was like, holy crap, I love this book. Like Mad Cave is crushing it with the first issue. So I
I
will
have
be
to
reading at
ask,
least the
is there any
first arc.
Madonna in here? Madonna
No.
lookalikes
No. I mean that girl,
there?
like, no, because Madonna ended up being the bad guy in the movie.
I know. But I had to ask anyway, just in case,
No,
if
no,
they're
no, no,
taking it
no.
from the point of him being, this is like where he kind of started, where he's not
No.
as established, or.
No, it's kind of like, I would say like mid-career, like people already know who he is, but he hasn't really full on taken on his full rogues gallery yet. We'll say that. So I'm gonna give this book three fried eggs and toast and coffee, because that's what the chief is eating in the middle of the book. So
Nice, nice.
I was like,
There you
sweet, you
go.
already put your own rating in here. Good job.
Nice.
It was really good. I loved that movie back in the day. Warren Beatty, Madonna, a lot of
It was
great,
one of
lot of great
those ones
people.
when we were kids that it fit that era of Batman and Batman 89 kind of opened things up. And then we saw things like Dick Tracy and The Shadow with Alec Baldwin, which that was my personal favorite. I thought that was cool,
I was just gonna say, like,
way
they're
ahead of
very
its
reminiscent
time.
of each other. For
Well,
sure.
considering
I
what technically The Shadow was before Dick Tracy, I think.
In the comics, yeah. Well,
And radio show. It was
the
the radio
Shadow
show
had
that
a
came
radio
out.
show first, and then Dick Tracy had comic strips before the Shadow had comic books. But Will Eisner really took the spirit, or I'm sorry, the Shadow. Oh, never mind. I'm thinking of the Shadow, or the Spirit, not the Shadow. The Shadow movie, or the Spirit movie, was very similar to the Dick Tracy movie in style, which is what I liked about it. So anyway, continuing on.
Infernals number three.
Yup.
I have to say that I'm gonna have to start being pickier at my books because I'm getting really, this is like another week of a very mediocre book, which is very disappointing because this really had some cool high hopes kind of for it. And it's so slow, way too slow than it should be for a book about heaven and hell. Maybe I got spoiled because my first heaven and hell experience in comic books was Spawn, where it's like right there, hell, heaven, like within the first 10 issues, you're in the thick of it. Here's three issues, you're introduced to heaven and hell, but there's not a lot going on. It's a lot of flashbacks of, like, you're seeing his youngest son here, and apparently he's kind of doing a double agent type thing, going to heaven, and you're seeing the two individuals here with their glowing eyes and everything. They are apparently like heaven Avenger type things, entities, I should say, not things, but entities. You
Interesting.
get a little bit more background about the family more. I feel like this is my best way of putting the story so far. This is like watching The Godfather, but heaven and hell instead of just monsters. And, which it's cool in theory, but you did not have to make this book as slow as the original Godfather movie, where you're falling asleep halfway through. And I'm not complaining about The Godfather. It is a masterpiece, but it is a long masterpiece. And I feel like that's where they're taking this. The art is great. I can't complain about the art. It's kind of almost chalk, like a light chalky, like you see like the haze. It feels like they use chalk a little bit. Well, they kind of give it a
Okay, I can
haze
see that.
over. Maybe some colored pencil or something. Like, it's, I love the uniqueness of it. And like I said, I like the premise, but it's issue three and there's not a lot of action. Like, this is more action in this one than the other two, but it's still about the Antichrist talking to his ex-wife for like 3 pages, and his fight with his current wife for another 2 pages. And I'm like, I don't want to read this shit. This is stupid. If I want to read soap opera shit, I'll watch that on TV. I don't need to read it in a comic book. Yeah, I'm gonna give this like lukewarm oatmeal, like with like it's with like. I'm hoping maybe next issue it starts. I don't know how long this is going to be. I don't know if this is going to be limited or this is going to be a long, they're going for the long game. But yeah, they're starting to lose me, and if you're losing me by issue three, that's not a good sign.
Right.
But like I said, the art is beautiful. Can't complain. I like the concept. You just have to move the story along a little better.
Right.
It's one of those things. It's maybe this is just the slow book, and then the next three issues are going to be bang bang action and cool angel and hell stuff. We don't know because it's super slow.
Well,
So,
fingers crossed, I guess, right?
yep.
Okay. My next book is Spider-Woman 6. So this is after Gang War. Jessica Drew is, like trying to figure herself out, needs some time away, decides she's gonna drive her motorcycle to California, stops in Chicago, realizes that it's snowing in Chicago and she is not prepared for that. So she decides to get a train ticket, puts her bike on the train, sits down on the train, and then all of a sudden Star shows up, who is the she's like a sort of bad Captain Marvel type character from the Captain Marvel books. And she's working for Hydra to make ends meet. So she ends up hunting her down, wrecking the train, like they have a there's odd this is just a great fight scene with them throwing each other off the train back and forth. And then she accidentally blows up a bridge that the train needs to go over, and Jessica's like, well, what are we gonna do? And she's like, can't you like build a bridge out of webbing and stuff? And she's like, nope, wrong spider. So she's like, Star, you have like her powers are she can manipulate reality. So she kind of makes a track to go over, but then the other part of the track falls. They save like all the people at the very end, but her bike ends up being destroyed in the meantime. Star apologizes for everything, flies away. She ends up getting a plane ticket going out to San Francisco. Which is where the new issue that came out this week actually picks up, that I did not read yet, and I'll probably do that tomorrow or tonight. But this book, like I've really enjoyed this book in general. Like if you don't want to read Spider-Man and you want to read a different Spider family member, but you don't want it to be like just all like either woe's me or oh my girlfriend slash wife slash ex-wife slash wife from another reality slash whatever girlfriend, like you want decent action, a little more noir-y vibe because she's a little more of a detective with it. I really recommend this book a lot. So I'm gonna give this book a schmagel, which is a sheets breakfast sandwich with a bagel, scrambled egg on it, bacon, sausage patty, tomato, pepper jack cheese. That's how I take it. It's the best way to go. And a side of mini hash browns and a cup of coffee.
I was
So.
going to say, it seems like a lot of the Spider family books have been really good. Like the Spider-Punk series is
Yeah.
fun. The Superior Spider-Man stuff is really good. So,
The only book I'm
it's
not hearing people talk about is regular Spider-Man.
which is kind of bad, to be
Well,
fair. I mean, it's
or people are just branching out, like,
yeah.
yeah, whatever.
There's only
It's
so much
good.
Peter Parker you could take. You got to expand your horizons a little
Right?
bit there. Yeah. All right. Scale Trade number one. Now this came out this week. And if you noticed, these are all like, well, these I went with two indie books this week. So
Yeah, this
speaking
is really
about broadening
weird.
my,
Like you're
well,
reading all these.
I told you, Ryan did not unpack all the Marvel stuff this week, so I did not get to read as much Marvel that I usually do. So, but this intrigued me because in this book, it's basically like our world, but with dragons. Apparently, dragons are actual animals protected by the government as a endangered species. Well, a protected species, I should say. And apparently, they're every kind of dragon you can think of. The story kind of follows the way the world kind of looks at it, the way the common man looks at them, and the way that these two characters you're introduced are a basically they're FBI slash CIA slash park ranger for dragons
Neat.
agents. And it's kind of cool. It's they get to investigate like what they do with drag, like what people do in the black market with dragons. Like apparently, like every part of the dragon is valuable. A dragon can crossbreed with any animal, and the
Really?
animal, yeah, it's like a really cool mythos with these dra with the way dr they portray dragons in this. Apparently, like dragon meat is doesn't go bad,
Wow.
like as compared to like cow and chicken and stuff like that. So it's like it's some really cool concepts in here. The art is pretty good. I want to say above average.
Okay, that's good.
It's yeah, it's a little like the humans are a little meh, but the dragons drawn in this are beautiful. So maybe they're going to
Nice.
be concentrating more on the dragon. I even got the what the Max Dunbar Sebastian Chin variant cover, which has this
Yeah.
beautiful dragon in the front of it. So this is just cover A. I got the cover. I think that's the variant is cover B. But I really like this. This was a really, I'm really intrigued to see where this goes. I kind of want to see where it goes. It's kind of really neat. It's very like what happens with endangered species or protected species in our current world, you know? So in our reality, I should say our reality and not so much the comic reality, but I feel like this is kind of a cool way to get that word out that, you know, people do shady stuff like this in the black market type deal. And you get to see a cop buddy type thing go on too. So I'm gonna give this like a solid what's kind of dragon breakfast here? Give me like all the meats, because apparently dragons are very, you know, carnivorous, meaty. So let's get some of like slices of roast beef, slices of ham, maybe a nice steak. It's all the maybe some hash browns on the side to make it more breakfasty. But no, this is I really kind of like this. This is a very cool book. So
That's cool. It sounds cool. I think someone talked about this at Comics Pro. It sounded cool.
yeah,
So,
well, that's
all right, my last book. Justin has been waiting to hear what the hell the book is. Pooh versus Bambi. So this book,
why?
so I saw this thing listed and I went, I'm just gonna pick this up out of pure curiosity of what the fuck is this? So
Now, is this the Do You Poo series? Okay. I despise that series. I think it's the dumbest thing. And I know I shouldn't, you know, like.
So this book is so it's like part Disney, part Ninja Turtles, part like brute force, I guess, right? So
I love blue forts.
So this takes place in the Hundred Acre Wood, of course. And Winnie the Pooh and his Winnie the Pooh, Tigger, Rabbit, Eeyore, and Bambi are a mercenary team, right? Tigger looks, yeah, right. Tigger's awesome. He is like, he is this like giant pissed off tiger. Like, Eeyore looks like the war corns.
What does Piglet look like?
Hold on, wait, we're not to that part of the book yet. So we got to get to that. So they go in there because they're hunting down this thing, and they go in there, and Pooh is just blowing people, like shooting people in the head, throwing grenades at people. At one point, like Tigger comes by and he's got like blood all over him because he's eating people. And then Bambi finds out that they were actually real animals that were experimented on and turned into humanoids. And these two guys try to come in to interrupt him and Pooh having this talk, and he just antler spears them, like it just like shoves antlers right through their face. It's awesome. It's like the most gratuitously dumb violence I've seen in a long time in a book. So then they basically steal this what looks like mutagen from Ninja Turtles. That is the thing that turned them into these humanoid anthropomorphic henchmen, like mercenary guys. And at some point, like they have a fight, and Pooh ends up shooting Bambi right in the head and killing him. So then cut to I don't know how much later it is. Pooh is like fat with a beard and like laying under a tree, and he's covered in honey, and he like accidentally gets honey in his beard, and he just goes, "Oh bother." Like, so he
What the?
takes a shower at a waterfall, goes and is like eating trash out of a trash thing, runs into another deer and just freaks out because he sees Winnie the Pooh. And actually, then a hunter and his kid shoot the deer in the head, and the kid's screaming. And then they're like, "Holy shit, you're a bear!" And he's like, "Roar!" And they run away. And he's like, "Damn it! Now I got to go to another town." So he grabs his Walkman that has Rush on the thing, because he's at one point he's singing "Working Man," like he's walking through the woods singing "Working Man."
Oh, jeez.
His guns. And then all of a sudden these people in like ninja suits start attacking, and the one who kind of gets him, and then he like totally almost kills in return, takes off her helmet, and he's like, "Who are you working for?" And she just goes, "Get stuffed," because he's a bear.
Oh, God.
And she is actually Piglet, like, because she has pigtails. So then you find out that the person that she's working for is General Christopher Robbins, or Christopher Robin, and he's like got like one eye, like an eye patch and a beard. He's like, "Silly old bear." Like,
So he's Nick Furying
yeah.
the
So this book might possibly be the most fun book I've read in like probably a couple weeks. Like, it was everything I hoped it would be when I picked it up. Because I initially picked it up and went, "Man, this is gonna suck." And then I was like, "Oh no, this is actually pretty good. I'm good with this. We're good. We're good." So I'm giving this like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to give this.
venison.
No. That's mean. I'm gonna give this the French toast slam from Denny's, with strawberries all over them,
And
like,
honey.
and honey,
Honey.
of course, honey. But that was really good. I can't believe that that book was that fun. But it was a blast, just a blast. So,
Nice.
yeah.
Oh.
All right. So I have two books to show off that I got at the warehouse sale, and then you can show off stuff you got at Chicago, and then
Ooh.
we'll talk about X-Men. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Cool. Mine's real quick. You ready?
Go for it. Oh.
Showcase 23 and 24. So now I have the entire Showcase Presents Green Lantern run. Like I have his first three appearance issues ever.
Nice,
So
nice.
guess what's going to CBCS this year? I'm
Yeah.
gonna read them all and then I'm gonna send them
Yeah.
out. So hopefully I have some time Sunday night, and that's gonna be my sit down and read Showcase 22, 23, 24.
Nice.
Oh, also, I'm using a new mic tonight. I didn't know if it made any difference. Sounds better, sounds worse, about the
You
same.
sound good. Yeah, it's you sound
Okay.
fine.
Okay.
You're it's not as loud because I don't think it's like right up in your face, so it makes a
Right. Yeah.
difference. You know, I have mine. Mine's like all the way like behind, almost behind my monitor, but you can see, you
Yeah.
can hear me pretty well. So,
That I can hear.
but yes, I was at C2E2. It was fun for what I saw of it. I did work it, so it was kind of when I had some time, I did get to go to Artist Alley and get some books. So I want to do a quick thank you for some of the people here. I want to thank Alyssa Wong, who did Batman Urban Legends number 9. She was very excited because I was the first one to bring her this book. She's like, no
Cool.
one ever brings it. I was like, well, it's as I told her, I was like, I kind of have a thing for Azrael. I was like, and this is a really cool cover of Azrael. So she really appreciated that. I got a signature from Mandy Lee, who did the He-Man Revelation book. I got my Marvel Monsters from the Files of Ulysses Bloodstone and the Monster Hunters, signed by Eric Powell. We also talked a
Nice.
little bit about the Goon.
Cool.
So he was very, very nice dude, very cool dude. I also got Tim Seeley to
Nice.
sign with Peach Momoko, my Crow book. And last but not least, the entire cast of X-Men 97 was there, and I only had time for one. And of course, I had to go with, I got a signed copy of, what is this, Wolverine 47
Nice.
with Cal Dodd. And he was super nice. His wife was a super nice lady. He signed it, "Back off, bub."
Nice.
That's it. It's slightly backwards, I know, but yeah, that was about as much as I got there.
Sounds like you had fun though. That's all that matters. So
Yeah, it.
I love C2E2. It's a great show. So
Yeah, I just wish I had a little bit more time, but hey, it
how we
was
all
the
feel, so
experience. Yeah. It was really good bakery in
yeah.
Chicago. But
Yeah.
I do have to say, John Stewart was right about the Chicago style pizza. It is a casserole. It's not a pizza. You know, it was not as good as people in Chicago think it is. It's not. It's not. Give me
I
New
like
York
it.
style any day of the week.
I prefer New York style, but I do like a good deep dish. But you got to get a good one. Like I always tell people, like when I went up there, or one of the last times I went up there, like me and four people split a medium deep dish, and it lasted for like three or four meals for all four of us because it was that thick of stuff. It was awesome. So, all right. All right, let's talk about X-Men 97. So we're gonna talk spoilers since there were two episodes that we did not three episodes, sorry, that we didn't get to talk about. So if you haven't watched them and you're not caught up, get the fuck out.
So
I'm
what
just gonna
this
pull this
is,
up so I remember which episodes we're talking about.
well, we talked about the Gia, this is the Geno, what we talked about the Genosha episode, correct?
Was that the last one we talked about? I don't think so.
I believe it
One,
was.
two, three. Oh, yeah. Because that would have been the last one. So,
Yes.
Life, Death, Part Two,
Two.
Bright Eyes, and Tolerance is Extinction
Chin
are
part
the
one.
three that
Yep.
we need to talk about. So.
Okay. Yep. So, Life, Death, Part Two. Pretty much went as expected. You know, it kind of, you know, it was the finishing of Storm getting her powers back. Of course, they did the whole, she has to fight through her claustrophobia to save not only herself, but Forge, who's dying of the poison from the demon that bit him. So it's, you know, it, that wasn't like the most interesting part, but it completed the cycle. It's basically like the book, kind of like they took their liberties modernizing it a little bit. But I love her in the her classic black outfit with the head, the headpiece, and you know, the basically the first time we ever see her is in Giant X-Men 1, is in that outfit. So that was a nice homage. And then what, the second part was this a two-parter or was this one? I want to say
The
this was
Bright Eyes
two-parter.
one?
Yes.
Bright Eyes was a one-parter.
Well, the Life and Death was the two-parter, another
Yeah,
two-parter,
right.
because the second part was Charles Xavier in space fighting against the bigotry that
Yeah.
he hates in Earth, and he's getting stuck with it here in the Shi'ar Empire,
Yep.
which basically is kind of, you know, they're like, well, if you don't like our way, you know, you're just a lower life form that should be grateful that we even let you know, be among us type crap. Well, everybody but, you know, Lalandra, who just is totally in love with Charles. And of course, both of these events are happening just before the Genosha incident, because at the end of both episodes, you see the whole thing of what Gambit kind of as a sentinel or turned into a skeleton at the end, if I remember correctly, and Xavier losing his going, oh my God, my X-Men, my children. And you see Storm, you know, crying as she sees the Genosha on TV. So yeah, this was it was a good episode. It was a kind of a, to where those characters were at the time. And you get a little bit more about we already know about like most of the space races in the MCU, but the Lalandra and her species, we don't get a lot of it in like the current format.
Oh,
Like
they haven't really done well, they haven't really touched the Shi'ar
a
outside of the
lot.
comics in decades.
Yeah, since the original X-Men run.
Well, I mean, but also like there was a lot like the whole War of Kings happened. That was like the Shi'ar and the Kree
Yeah,
fighting
because
because
you
we
got
got
to
to see
see what
Vulcan in this.
Ronin.
Yeah. Vulcan was cool in this because a lot of people were like, who the hell is that? And I'm like, dude, that was Vulcan. And they're like, who's Vulcan? And I'm like, really? Really? Anyway, so like stop talking Star Trek. I'm like, shut up.
Mr.
Right?
Spock's
Yeah, so then I thought that was kind of cool how they actually worked in a lot of those guys. The next episode then is pretty much like Rogue going ape shit to try to find the person
in
who
this.
sent the Sentinels. They find Trask. He ends up she ends up throwing him off a building and he ends up becoming a living Sentinel. And then beating the shit out of everyone, including Rogue, who is now in a coma. And then the newest episode from yesterday was kind of the follow-up where they realize that Bastion is the guy who is actually controlling everybody, and he's working with Mr. Sinister to make people into sentinels so that the sentinels can just activate and go and do the sentinel thing they need to do whenever they're around a mutant. So it's like super crazy. I do love the fact though that when I heard them say, "Oh yeah, like the signal's coming from Harmony by Pittsburgh," I was like, "I know where that is."
You say,
And all I thought was, "Yeah, it's kind of a small ghost town like that too. It's because it's right by Xelianopel, and it's really small, like you blink and you miss it kind of place." But I just was like, "Oh man, Harmony's gonna bring down all the X-Men. This is crazy." But I thought it was cool that we actually got like his backstory, because if I remember right, they used him in like one book in the 90s, and then they didn't touch him again until like somewhere in the early to mid 2000s. Like
Well, I
Scott
liked
Lobdell
how
brought him
they
back.
incorporated how all the time jumping by Bishop and Cable is caused a lot of this crap going on. Because some of the other YouTube guys did analysis of, if you paid attention of, because Bastion is part Sentinel, it's from when that episode where Bishop took Wolverine and Storm from the Age of Apocalypse era and brought it to save Xavier. And when they destroyed Nimrod, that piece of Nimrod carried over into the current time stream. And I thought that was brilliant writing. I want to know what the writer for X-Men did to get fired, because this is like brilliant interaction of comics and the original animated series and integrating it with current stuff currently going on, and it all makes sense and it's all exciting, and you know, everybody is talking about how great it is, and it's probably going to, for now, save the MCU for a little bit.
I think we're gonna find out. Like, I don't think it was any part of season one that may have been the problem. I'm wondering if it was part of season two, because season two was almost finished when he got fired. So, because season two is like already pretty much in the can and ready to go for next year, which I'm excited for, because the show's been very good and we get two more episodes.
There's not,
So.
this has not been, one episode hasn't been a disappointment. It's been, some have been a little slower than others, but you're getting solid storytelling. You're getting good dialogue. You're getting the story moving along, and it's all intertwined. And it's, this is basically what we kind of loved about the X-Men animated series for the most part, was all the episodes intertwined. Like, even if it was a different story arc, most picked up at certain points. There were a couple that were here and there not right, especially that last season that made no sense whatsoever for most of it. Like, a lot of those did not make sense.
Most of the episodes of the original series were not as streamlined as the current series. Like, they were like, it would be like a real minor thread pulling everything through everything.
Yeah,
Like,
it was
but they were
subtle.
like, it was way more subtle. This is, here's the front story, and we're just going to kind of insert issues of cool that happened. But some of these are full on issues that we've read. Some of them are not. Like, hold on, let me look
Some of
up
them are
Bastion's
improv.
first. Let me look up Bastion's first appearance, and we can
Although I have to say, I did
X-Men
enjoy.
52. Then he wasn't used again until X-Men 333. Oh, I guess it was 2 months. Never mind. Because it was X-Men and then the Uncanny X-Men. They were both May and June of 96. But
But I did
yeah.
enjoy the I think, is it the first? Technically, I guess it wouldn't be the first time Nightcrawler actually fought.
This was the first time we get to see him use the swords, though, I think.
Yes, and you got to see the way he teleported through Wolverine's
Oh, that
knee.
was cool. I wanted to mention that. That was really cool.
That was pretty cool. And you finally kind of got to see Wolverine let loose a bit because he's been like super low key this season, whereas I guess it was kind of to offset of this isn't going to be the Wolverine show. This is going to be he's going to be a part, but the not it's not going to be the cent he's not going to be the center point, which I have no problem with. As long as
Right.
he's in there and he does cool stuff and he is a part of the story, I'm cool with. But I did enjoy their back and forth battle with the Sentinel human hybrids. Was really awesome. I really enjoy that because him and Nightcrawler together like that, it's almost as fun as watching him and Colossus beat people down, beat things down.
Right.
It's enjoyable watching that. So.
Yeah, it's been good. Like I'm just curious to see where they end up and what, like, are we gonna get more Shi'ar? Like, are they gonna come after Professor Xavier since he showed up? Like the fact that Magneto shut down all of those mutant those Sentinels with like just with his mind in his underwear at the North Pole, like I
Although,
was just
shout out to the cover Mark Silvestri did with Wolverine. They did it with Magneto instead, which was cool. Got to see Spider-Man.
Oh
So
yeah, that was cool. And it was
you.
very much so the one from the animated series.
Yes, yeah. So you're going to see, I feel like that's going to be a spin-off of maybe getting a Spider-Man animated series sooner than we were thinking.
I'm not holding my breath on it, but I would assume that it would probably happen in like 2 years. That's my goal. So, or my,
But
that's my gut, I should say. That's my gut.
I did like seeing all these the different different heroes kind of doing like the oh my God moment of what's going on.
Yeah.
So oh we did get to see Juggernaut this week because
Sort
Morph
of.
turned into Juggernaut. So
Morphinaut.
cool.
We got
Yeah.
Morphinaut.
I have to say I enjoy Morph turning into all these. We're crossing our fingers like real X-Men down the road,
Yeah.
or key players that we will see later on. So
Yeah, I'm
it's
curious to see if he's gonna even stick around for the whole time, but
I think he will. I don't think they want to go deviate too much from that.
right.
They already missed Bishop's not a part of it. Gambit's not a part of it anymore. You start losing X-Men left and right. It's gonna be a
I would
pain in the
be
butt trying to.
I don't think this is the last we've seen of Gambit, though. I don't. I think we're gonna
No,
see him come back. So.
we got hint that he is still around.
Yeah, we
If
will.
you.
I mean, we're gonna see the Phoenix come back. The Phoenix can pretty much do anything, so we'll see.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, we shall see. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if we got to talk about the Wolverine Deadpool trailer. I'm assuming we did, but has it
Not the
been that
newest
long?
one, but the only one that the only thing about it that I thought was cool was the scene with Ant-Man's head, because it was very much so Old Man Logan, and then it
Yes.
had all the characters from the Fox universe so, like hanging out there. Like I thought that was
Yes.
cool. Other than
That
that,
I did
it was
like the
fine.
Liefeld feet sign in
Yeah.
the
I also like
slow
the fact
motion
that
action bit.
we also have Wolverine without the sleeves.
Yes.
Like, and I was like,
So people can stop
oh,
bitching
comic accurate Wolverine, all right?
about
So,
it.
ish. And we get him in the helmet, which is also cool. Like, he
Yeah.
actually has the helmet for it. So, which Draco will be super pumped about. I'm sure he'll stop in Cranberry tomorrow and tell me all about how he already ordered it. So, which I'm excited to hear about.
Oh, I'm
All right,
sure.
guys. Well, that's pretty much it. We're gonna get some rest because we have a long weekend coming up with Free Comic Book Day. So make sure you go out, make sure you check out Make sure you shop at your local LCS. Doesn't have to be us, but be nice if it was. And just make sure you stop by and support your local comic shops. We'll see you at Three Rivers in a month. A month from today is the last day of it. Around a month from right now, I will be probably returning home after loadout and passing the hell out. So,
Same. And it will
thanks.
also be my wedding anniversary too.
Yeah. Oh, we'll have to, maybe we'll do something fun. If I remember. So, all right. Thanks a lot,
We
guys. We'll
might be
see you
too
next time.
exhausted.
Exactly. We'll see you next time, guys. Thanks a lot.